Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, 249 confirmed COVID cases yesterday. 59 of those cases were here in Lagos. Numbers continue to drop. I'm happy about that. It's still the fourth wave, though. So be good. Limit your movement when you go out. If you must go out to work or to buy essentials, please wear a mask. Keep your distance from people. Wash your hands. Sanitize your hands as often as you can. And thank you for tuning in to Hard Facts. I have a great show for you today. It's an extended Big Three up until 4:30. I love it. Let's talk about the latest political news, shall we? The PDP governors met yesterday, and the National Assembly is back in session. You heard Femi Wajabiamila during the news update at 3 o'clock. We'll talk some more about that information from Wajabiamila. Then let's talk about fresh charges against Nnamdi Kanu. You and I will talk about that on today's Big Three. We'll also talk about a woman arrested for helping one son kill another son for rituals. There's no community report and there's no big hard fact because AFCON is still on. But remember that tomorrow I will have a full show for you. So we'll have the Big Three tomorrow. We'll have the Glass Ceiling tomorrow. And we will have Balogun and Broad tomorrow. Tomorrow on Balogun and Broad, let's talk about loan companies. I saw a post on social media about this gentleman whom a loan company allegedly put out a flyer claiming that he had allegedly died because he allegedly borrowed money from an alleged loan company. Let's talk about that tomorrow on our business segment, Balogun and Broad. On the Glass Ceiling tomorrow, we'll also have fantastic conversations about women's rights. But back to today. As usual, we'll have news for you at 4 o'clock at the top of the hour, 4 o'clock. We're not going to have 5 and 6 because of AFCON, but let's get started with today's Big Three. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Will the House of Reps pass the Electoral Act Amendment Bill? Is the government handling the Nnamdi Kanu trial efficiently? And how much blame should Nigerian parenting take for the rise of crime? Those are your Big Three. Lagos, let's talk. The House of Reps will reintroduce the Electoral Act Amendment Bill tomorrow. That's our first story. We got that news from the Speaker himself, Femi Wajabiamila.
We have less than 13 months to the next general election, so time is of the essence. A credible electoral law is what the people want. It is what the people deserve, and it is what the people will get. The Electoral Act Amendment on Constitutional Amendment will prioritize action to pass the Constitutional Amendment Bill in the House of Representatives. Fortunately, we are in the final stages of that effort and will shortly conclude this all-important work.
He said the plan is to deliberate on the bill quickly, make the necessary changes, send it back to the president to sign it. Remember, the president said himself on air this month that if the direct primary mandate is removed, he will sign the bill. The opposition party is challenging National Assembly to put the president to the test. Yesterday, we heard from the PDP Governors Forum after they met in Port Harcourt. They told the National Assembly to act quickly and either override the president's veto with two-thirds majorities on the bill or make the adjustments he asked for and send it back to him. They said amending the Electoral Act is essential for a smooth general election in 2023. Because remember that this bill has provisions like electronic transmission of results, which are meant to improve transparency in the process. Oh, but the PDP governors did not stop there. They also dragged the APC's performance in control of Aso Rock and the National Assembly. They accused the president of mismanaging the economy and not having an answer for insecurity. Now, I want you to tell me which option you think the National Assembly should take on the Electoral Act Amendment Bill. Will they override the veto or edit it based on the president's feedback? Interestingly, the PDP governor said that they think the president is just stalling and will find another reason to not sign the bill, even if they remove the direct primary mandate. Do you agree with that or do you disagree with it? And what do you think about the PDP governor's criticisms of the president's handling of the economy and security? I think I should make that question a poll. You know, the part where the PDP governors say that the president is just stalling and they'll find another reason not to sign the bill. Sandra, go to Ken and tell him to make that a poll for me. Do you think that the PDP governors are right when they say that the president is just stalling and he will find another reason not to sign a bill? So it's going to go up as a poll on our Twitter and you can get online and vote. But right now, let's talk. 0700-993-993-993. I told you guys I have an intern. Her name is Sandra. So for those of you who are listening, like, why are you sending yourself a message, Sandra? I have a namesake in the studio with me. And she's the one who I was talking to. If you're a woman, call us on 01465-7190. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name? Good afternoon.
Yeah, my name is Samuel. I'm calling from Lekki.
Welcome, Samuel. Go ahead.
Yeah, in respect to what PDP is doing right now, it's just politics to me.
Okay.
Yes, have they ever done better?
Okay.
Yes, you know, APC is calamity as well. They are just the same of the same.
Okay.
So it's just politics. Will they sign if they are the one in charge? Were they not the one that were part of the governors that said the president should not sign it? Why is the calamity? I know that. I'm sorry to have used that language, but it's just politics. Don't let us drive.
But is it politics okay. That works? Because so here's the thing, right? We're always saying that politicians are always interested in themselves. They're always playing politics. But some of the politics aligns with the interests of the people, right?
So, yes, that's correct.
So let's concede that they're playing politics. But do you think it's politics that benefits the people?
Yes, it will benefit the people if the president eventually signs it. But in their own mind, are they willing? Will they allow the president sign it too?
Who will the people? Will the PDP allow the president sign it?
He won't. He might sign or not. I don't know about that, but I know in PDP's interest. Would they want us to do electronic transmission or would they want it?
They've been the loudest voices saying that they want electronic transmission.
They are only talking.
Okay.
Do you know what came up initially before the president rejected it? All of them said they don't want him to allow the direct primary. So these people are just playing games.
Okay.
Let's see how it goes.
All right. Thank you very much. Because that's a question. That's something we need to ask ourselves going into 2023. Yes, they're playing games. Yes, they're in it for their own profit. Yes, they're in it for their own pocket. Yes, they're in it. And this is not me agreeing. This is me just saying what you say, right? So, yes, they're playing games. They are, you know, dirty about it. They're just fighting for their interests, all of those things. Okay. But how many of those things they are fighting for align with your own interest? We need to get out of this habit of looking for angels and saints. They're not going to come. There's nowhere in the world where the politicians are angels and saints. If you continue to expect to get angels and saints, I'm sorry, you're naive. So you have to get to the point where you're like, okay, this one a crook, this one a thief. But where does his policies or his beliefs or his movement, the path that this person is charting, that she, you know, where does her goal and my goal meet? Where do they meet? Where do they align? Is this something I can get behind? Because if someone is trying to use you, you have to find a way to use them back. Otherwise, you're just being used. And nobody likes to be used. So that's something we need to start thinking about as well. We need to get pragmatic about things like this. This is not to hold brief for the PDP or the APC. I'm just saying in general, as we go into 2023, how many of these conversations that are being had at the moment, how many of them work in your favor as a citizen of this country? 99.3. Hello.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
My name is David from Ibeshiori Ade. Yes, I want the National Assembly, they have a constitutional duty to make law. So I just want them to go straight and override the veto of the president.
Okay.
All these games, Nigerians are no longer interested in all these games again. If the president doesn't want the direct primaries, that we actually wanted the electronic voting, he will have done it. By the way, they said he did that of the petroleum something bill.
Okay.
So we already, the National Assembly too, should, if they are actually sincere in what they are doing, let them just go straight and,
override the president's veto. Okay. And let us have a country progressing.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much for calling us. 99.3. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
Cassandra. It's Comrade Nkechukwu.
Welcome, Comrade Nkechukwu.
What I want to tell you is that PDP should go and sit down. Okay. I have been fighting from 1998 to 3 years ago for them. So now I'm commanding them to go and sit down. Money. We signed what we call social contract with our National Assembly, with the president.
Right.
They're not supposed to be telling me or supposed to be commanding us. You see that electoral bill, it must be a must. They must try me to, but let me still retreat. Is it a retreat or a retreat? So let me reiterate again that if this direct primary will cause wahala, please let them go and remove that one and they sign so that if I'm voting for Otafam, so that it will reflect direct to Abuja. Are you hearing me?
Okay.
Concerning Nnamdi Kanu, Nnamdi Kanu should not be forced to make government give him their own clothes. They are giving him clothes and they are giving him. So if they didn't say they have any case against him, let him let them allow him so that if he's something Nnamdi Kanu he can answer. He can even answer by himself more than Osekome. But give him free chance. Let him answer his question. Let me say this intimidation of IPOP should not come. They will be pushing them. Leave government to own supporter. Do this one. He will not be answering. Ask him about his lawyer. They say he doesn't have rights. Why can't he have rights? Why can't he have rights for a lawyer? So what I want to say, let them give him free chance. Let him defend himself. No, don't say rigmarole. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. That's our cue to get into the second story. The federal government has added 8 new charges to Nnamdi Kanu's case. When the case last adjourned on December 2nd, there were 7 charges, including treasonable felony. The case resumed today, but yesterday the federal government increased the charges to 15. So in court today, Kanu's lawyers argued that they did not get enough time to study the new charges, and therefore they are refusing to enter any plea. And the judge agreed with them and adjourned the case until tomorrow. By the way, Michael Zekome, SAN, has joined Kanu's legal team, and he'll be leading them in court. Zekome said that it did not make sense for the government to keep changing and adding charges and to do it on the eve of the hearing. After all, they've had over a month and a half since the last hearing. And, you know, you have his colleague on the case, Nnamdi Ejiofor, saying that the adding of these new charges is needlessly prolonging the case. And he called it an abuse of legal processes. And I want to know if you agree. How would you rate the government's handling of the prosecution of Nnamdi Kanu? Do you think the government should have been able to gather all its evidence and decide all the charges it wanted to bring before a day before the resumption of the case? If you're a woman, call me on 01465-7190. Yes, you can still talk about our first story. Do you think the House of Reps will pass the Electoral Act Amendment Bill in time? We have Femi Gbajabiamila speaking in the House today, and here's what he said.
We have less than 13 months to the next general election, so time is of the essence. A credible electoral law is what the people want. It is what the people deserve, and it is what the people will get. The Electoral Act Amendment on Constitutional Amendment will prioritize action to pass the Constitutional Amendment Bill in the House of Representatives. Fortunately, we are in the final stages of that effort and will shortly conclude this all-important work.
All right, let's come back to the phone lines. 99.3. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, President Sandra.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
My name is Prince Fires, calling you from Amuwadofin.
Good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
I think the National Assembly, what they have to do is just simple something. Just put a clause there that is optional. If any party wants to go for direct primary, it's welcome. Want to go in direct primary, it's welcome. Consensus candidate is just put it that close there and turn it back to the Supreme for signing. What do you do, say, new electoral this thing? for 2023 election, very, very important to majority of Nigeria. And for the NMB Kano, I think for me, I've already said before, I want political statement for this matter. The matter can be settled out of court. This is what I wish you more than this. Have a blessed day, your city.
Have a blessed day as well, yourself. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call us back if you can. Our number is 0700-993-993-993. Do you think that the National Assembly should take on the Electoral Act Amendment Bill, override the veto, or do you think they should edit it based on the president's feedback? The PDP governor said that they think the president is stalling, that the president will find a reason not to sign the bill, even if the direct primary mandate is removed. Do you agree with that or do you disagree? What do you think about the PDP governor's criticisms of the president's handling of the economy and of security? Our first caller said PDP should go and sit down. And to our second story, how would you rate government's handling of the prosecution of Nnamdi Kanu? Remember that I told you that the government added 8 new charges to Nnamdi Kanu's case yesterday, one day before it was supposed to resume today. They increased the charges to 15. So in court today, Kanu's lawyers said, we didn't get enough time to study this. How do you expect us to enter a plea? So the judge said, okay, you're right. All right, let's adjourn the case. We'll start again tomorrow. I also told you that Michael Zekome has joined Kalu's legal team because he says it doesn't make sense for the government to keep changing and adding charges and to be doing it on the eve of the hearing. Nnamdi Kanu's other lawyer, Nnamdi Ejiofor, says that the adding of these new charges is simply being done to prolong the case. He thinks it's an abuse of legal processes. And my question with that story is, do you agree? How would you rate the government's handling of the prosecution of Nnamdi Kanu? Do you think that the government should have been able to gather all its evidence, decide all the charges he wanted to bring before this point? 99.3, hello.
Hi, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
Ada.
Ada, welcome.
Yes. Everybody knows what they are doing. We know what they are doing. This is not a normal thing. At least I've been going to court to, South thing.
Okay.
So they are doing it purposely, just to suffer us. So let it be. At the end of the day, I know the God we are serving. And that God will do his work and everybody will be surprised. I'm not afraid. If they like, let them postpone it to the kingdom come. They are the ones to lose. And they are the ones to bear the shame. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, Ada. Kendrick Ugenyi on Facebook says, if the electoral system is absolutely independent and credible, getting a PVC will be worth it. Or else they'll keep recycling old criminals as leaders in Nigeria. So I always say this every time that you talk about getting your PVC and you talk about the recycling of old people. You talk about these things like an outsider, and you shouldn't be talking about these things as an outsider. Because by the time we get to the point where they are allegedly recycling old criminals, it is already too late. So getting your PVC simply means that you are now stuck with making the choice between one recycled old criminal and another one. This is not conceding that we're recycling old criminals. I'm just using the words of one of the listeners here on Facebook. Now, the way to ensure that the people you will use your PVC to vote for are the kind of people you want to vote for on election day is to hijack the political parties that currently exist or to enter a new one in your massive numbers, mobilize enough across the country, and then produce the kinds of candidates and winners that you would like. It is not enough to say get your PVC. Get PVC is one aspect. The rest of it is determined by people who are in political parties already, and not enough Nigerians are in these parties.
Like, Nigeria allegedly has 200 million people. And we have less than 10% of that number represented across the major political parties. That needs to change. It won't change by 2023. It's already too late. So you are stuck with whoever the parties give the flags to. Those are the ones you're going to have to vote for. And you have to vote. Because whoever they give to you, it's always going to be, you know, one person who is worse than the other. And you always want the one that is not the worst option. And when you don't vote, you are voting for the worst option. That's it. So you decide for yourself, who is the better option of these two? How can I vote for this particular person? If you say you want a third, fourth candidate, how do I mobilize nationally to get this third, fourth candidate elected? You cannot be having lofty ideas about these things. They are processes. Politicians are professionals like doctors. They're professionals like me. They know politics well. The average Nigerian doesn't respect the work that goes into being a politician. And that's why we look at politics like, they're not. They know this is their bread and butter. It's like broadcasting is my bread and butter and I'm an expert broadcaster. It's the same way they're expert politicians. So you have to become either an expert citizen or an expert politician or an expert mobilizer, an expert and whatever it is that gets us to the point as a nation where we can elect the kind of people we want to lead this country. I'm sorry I'm becoming I don't know the word to use, but like, Omo, water don't pass Gary. It don't pass Gary. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll bring you our third story. Our third story is a shocking one. Very shocking, very sobering. A suspected fraudster told the police that his mother helped him kill his brother so he could use his body parts for rituals. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. A suspected fraudster told police that his mother helped him kill his brother so he could use his body parts for rituals. TVC is reporting that Afiz Olalere made the confession in police custody after both he and his mother were arrested. Here's what he allegedly said. Quote, "My mother took me to a herbalist who told me if I want to be successful in the Yahoo business, I will have to sacrifice one life, and that person must be a sibling to me. The things he would need to prepare a concussion with are his thumbs, his hair, fingers, and a passport photograph. So we went back home, we thought about it, then my mother suggested that we use my younger brother since he is just 21 years old. She also brought the poison which we gave him to eat. He died within 20 minutes after consuming the food. I was the one who cut out the body parts needed. We then wrapped his dead body and headed to the mortuary." End quote. So assuming this is true, this man told his mother he wanted to be a fraudster. And she agreed it was a good idea and took him to get spiritual help. And when they were told that the price would be murder, they agreed. Even hearing that the victim had to be a blood relative did not make them flinch. And then this mother allegedly nominated her own son to die. And she allegedly bought the poison. First of all, those of you who say your mother is always your mother, no matter what, you can't throw your mother away. How market? Would that dead 21-year-old not have been better off throwing his mother away? I'm sure if that man had told his friends, had told people that his mother did not wish him well, most people would have insulted him. They would have made him feel bad. I want us to expand this conversation to parenting in general. Yes, the suspect here is an adult. Let's be clear on that. An adult made this decision to go into crime, to murder his brother, and collaborated with his mother to do it. But you have a school of thought that says one of the reasons so many Nigerians are turning to crime is that in the homes they come from, money is prioritized over everything. Just this week, a commissioner in Delta State said that parents are encouraging crime by demanding money from their sons and daughters without asking where the money is coming from, or by even encouraging them to get money from shady activities. Do you agree that this is a root cause, or do you think that... Do you think that Pekin we no go spoil, no go spoil? And so even if some parents are unscrupulous, if their offspring are incorruptible, they won't listen to their unscrupulous parents. There's a lot to unpack in this story, and I could keep talking about it until 4:30, and we will keep talking about it until 4:30 because I really want to hear from you. Women, call me on 01465-7190, 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 99.3. Hello. Thanks for calling us. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3.
Hello, Sandra. How are you? This is Alex.
Hi, Alex. Welcome.
Yeah. You see, I heard this story yesterday. I'd like to say, Sandra, that it takes a village to raise a child. I know a lot of times we talk about parents not parenting properly and all that. But look at our society. I had the opportunity of going to the hinterland, you know, back home this last holiday, yeah?
Right.
And to my surprise, almost everybody I asked after, oh, he's not a Yahoo boy. Oh, he's not a Yahoo boy. Oh, he's not a Yahoo boy. And I'm like, what's this thing about Yahoo boy? I actually engaged one of them. And I said, tell me a thing or two about what's happening here. And one of the things I found out is that there's something these guys call a hustle kingdom. In fact, they call it HK.
Okay.
Hmm?
Okay.
This is a place where, like, one of them who has learned, like, he's not a boss. Right?
Okay.
He gathers prospective Yahoo boys together to train them.
Okay.
Where am I going with this? You just mentioned now about the parents, right?
Mm.
I want to ask you, Sandra.
Right.
Our society is full of, or I won't say full of, there are many billionaires in our society, right? I want you to just imagine. It's like this apprenticeship thing you mentioned some months ago.
Mm.
You know, you had this apprenticeship thing that you talked about, right?
Right.
And some people say that this apprenticeship thing produces more millionaires than universities. Okay?
Right.
I am telling you now, Sandra, I'm asking you now, Sandra, that how many of our billionaires have actually set up something, right? Like where they try to also reproduce their type. Many of them don't tell their stories. People learn by hearing stories. That's why I say it takes a village. Okay? Our people say that your child is not walking upside down because he did not see you walking upside down. Now, if we consider all of the things that are happening in our society, how many those who claim to be making good money, how many of them actually are, you know, taking the extra pain to tell their stories? A lot of them are not telling their stories. Sandra, you are aware of a video that came out last week where somebody asked about how somebody made his money, even simple thing as how old is your candidate, he couldn't even say.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Those who know, those who claim to be doing the right things, are not telling their stories. They will rigmarole, they will tell you some kind of rubbish stuff. They are not inspiring young people to do the right thing the way they say they do the right thing. That's why I say it takes a village. For how long can we blame the parents? Some parents are clueless. They are way more dysfunctional than even their children.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Alex, for calling. 99.3. Hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
My name is Ethel.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Sandra, it's very shocking because, one, I'm not online. I don't know what is going on. Nigeria Info is the online radio and on-air radio that I have. Now, the mother helped his elder son, I'm not mistaken, to kill the younger one.
Yes. Yes.
Although, let me use worry language. It don't happen, it don't see. Now who hand touch? Now who the cash? 96. There no cash, not the thief. It's because we were caught. What about those that we are not caught? I have seen a mother and a son, they join hands together to kill the father for ritual. What about that one? Sandra, I will never encourage Yahoo. It's not the best way to go. The other day, yes, I tuned in. What I was hearing was this Tony Elumelu Foundation assisting young Nigerians, young African youth to get up, to rise. Are those ones not people? Are those ones not youth? The 18-year-old boy that is from Nairobi, he does not know how to do Yahoo, Abi. Does not know how to kill. That is why they are helping him. Sandra, we've lost it all in Africa and in Nigeria. Not only in Nigeria, in the whole Africa, is Yahoo that is draining. And it's not Yahoo, it's ritual. They use people for money ritual. Me, I don't have that strength to kill. So the little I can do to raise my own people, I told a lady the other day, I said, you are dressing half naked. For what? You are still in secondary school. You better think straight. And stop running after your old boys. They will do you no good. Your mates, people are helping your mates to rise up. I know what I have seen, so I will never allow any young lady around me to see what I have seen. But most parents, Sandra, some mother encourage their kids. Take them to select church, take them to Babalawo, so that they will do medicine for them, they will become rich. Yahoo Plus. So unfortunate, I will find ourselves in this thing. And I pray God help us out.
Thank you, Esogene, for calling us. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, President Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, good to have you on the show.
The boy and the mom, they caught them, right?
Yes.
And the young man confessed. Hello, President Sandra.
Yes, the young one confessed. Go ahead.
So somebody will call himself a lawyer now to go and defend this woman and his son. 21-year-old boy. God. The other day, University of Lagos, Iba, last week, a boy carried the girlfriend Abeokuta with his mom. They killed that girl, all in the name of ritual. Sandra, I traveled this December, right? With my gura. I see small boys. SUV. They were like, Uncle Chris, I've been using this gura for 6 years. They hit one of them. People gather, now Yahoo boy, you go hit. See how they were hitting this guy, clapping hand. Wow. How do they sleep, self, after making all this money? Hello, President Sandra.
I'm here, I'm listening. Go ahead.
How would they go to bed and sleep with two eyes closed? What type of heart? This type of people are young boys. The other day, 4 point Sheraton. I see this boy, white Bentley. The boy should be around 22 or so. They were hailing him. I said, wow. Thank God I'm not in the uniform business. If not, I will call that young man, come, who are you? What are you doing? Bentley, white. Everybody was hailing him. And for Bajabi Anula, when he was talking, I hear the grammar when you play the tape. You know where I cast my mind back to?
Where?
What is it called? The one they say off your mic. Akpabio.
Okay.
You remember Akpabio incident? You remember what Agbajabi Amila said? Like he said, they have 13 months. And for those who are rubbishing PDP, My people see say dead boy as Harufu. We're just shying away from the truth. No matter what these guys put us in these 6 years, come on. See, I said it. We are taking sides with this government. All of us are in that stormy water. Heaven will collapse in all collapse of one person alone. PDP serves you. I've been telling them, stay away from whatever APC is giving to Nigeria. Go back to the drawing board. They will not hear. The PDP, go and sit down. PDP is this. Good for them. Thank you, President Sandra.
Thank you, Chris, for calling us. I will say, though, that everybody is entitled to defense from a lawyer, because Chris was mentioning, well, these ones too. Will they also get lawyers? Everybody's entitled to defense from a lawyer, even after confessing, because we've all heard about false confessions because of police torture, right? So that's number one. Number two, not every young man who's driving a flashy vehicle is a Yahoo boy. Not every young man who is driving a Bentley is a fraudster, you know? And when we repeat things like that, when we repeat that, those words, you know, those opinions over and over, it cements the perception that allows security agents abuse the rights of young men and young women in Nigeria. There are a lot of these young people who are working in tech, you know, and tech pays a lot of money. Oh my God. And oh my God, like, tech plays a ridiculous amount of money. You can stay in Nigeria and get a job in Europe, in America, in Asia, and you in South Africa, and you're earning in dollars. And you're earning in dollars against the Nigerian naira today. You're good. You're eating good, you know? So I want us to get out of that headspace where every time we see a young man or a young woman driving an expensive car, living in an expensive house, we first go to, oh, this person must be a criminal. This person must be committing crime. This person must be doing something bad. You know, let's stop that. Because that's the kind of sentiment that allows security agents abuse young people. And we don't want that to continue to happen. Yes? Okay. All right. Let's lighten things up a bit. Then after the news at 4 o'clock, we'll talk about this story some more. This third story, very shocking, very sobering. From 4 to 4:30, you and I will talk about it some more. But for right now, we've got information for you. The next 15 minutes on this show is brought to you courtesy Amber Drink. Yes?
Yes. Super, super duper excited. Amber is a premium energy drink packed with a refreshing taste and healthy energy boosting ingredients. It contains just the right amount of nutrients and minerals to energize, revitalize, and hydrate the body. Amber Energy Drink is fortified with amino acids, citric acids, and essential B vitamins required daily to fight fatigue, improve concentration, and keep you energized all day long. Amber contains a herbal blend of the guarana plant, which is a natural source of caffeine with vast benefits to the health. B group vitamins like vitamin B3 and vitamin B5, vitamin B6, and vitamin B12, taurine, and amino acid, which has been shown to have several health benefits. And all this serves to replenish your loss of nutrients and electrolytes. And Amber just basically wants you to be energized
all day. Like, yeah. They just want you to feel good, to feel all right. Yes. You know, I like something that Amber is doing. So they have this game where they let people who follow them on socials or get on air with them to talk about when they've been able to achieve a set goal. Ooh. Or overcome a hurdle. Right? And I'm wondering, like, do you have a story like that? Do you maybe have a story like that where you've set a goal for yourself and you were able to achieve it, or there was like a challenge that you were looking for a way to get past and you're like, how do I get past this? And you know, you just found a way to get it done, you know. So here's what I want to do, right? I want us to play a game, and Amber is giving away 1,000 naira recharge cards. Okay. To, like, you know, different people if you impress me with your game skills. So I'll give you the cheat code. Yeah, I'll let Bubblegum, I call her Bubblegum because she smells like bubblegum. Like, she smells very delicious. Bubblegum, tell me like a time when you've like like set a goal for yourself and accomplished it. Just 60 seconds so that I can go to like Lagos and ask them the same thing. And then they'll tell me their story, answer a few questions and win some money. Unfortunately, you can't win the money because you're Amber Drink.
But it's okay. It's all right. You can win the money. Okay. Well, for me, I think when I left school and I wanted to go into media, I knew I wanted to do radio.
Right.
And I set out to do it. I remember moving out. I moved out of my parents' house as at my 21st birthday when I came
Congratulations.
Out. Thank you.
Oh, you're an adult,
It was not easy.
It's never easy. Like, even when you're 30, it's not easy.
I do not like paying bills.
Everybody wants their parents to pay their bills, girl.
And I remember just when I moved out, my parents thought I'd already secured a job.
Okay.
I had not.
Ooh.
I told them I had.
So you were sneaky with
I had faith.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And I remember moving out and having nights in the apartment. I was like, God, what am I going to do? And eventually I got a call.
Yay.
And then I came into the job and I think it was just a really big step for me. And I'm so grateful for that part of my life and where I am at right now, the growth and everything. So I'm going to be 22 in a few days. So
oh, congratulations.
Thank
You've
you.
You've been paying bills for almost a year.
Yes.
How does that feel? What do you spend your money the most on?
I would say feeding.
Feeding,
and
yeah.
transportation.
And
two
how
things.
About data?
Oh my God.
Data is a silent killer. You will not even know. It's just there in the background.
And then I do
just
the weekly one.
Oh.
And then it's like done in 2 days.
Yeah.
If you have like Netflix and all
this. Yeah. Like pew, pew, pew. Okay. All right. Before we go off, let me come back to Lagos very quickly. Right. Lagos, I want to give you a chance to tell me your own story. So you heard from Bubblegum. She told us her own story. She told us about a time when she overcame a hurdle. She told us as well about how she actually set a goal for herself. So you've got 60 seconds to do the same thing for me. And then you'll pick a number between 1 and 6. And I'll ask you a very simple question. And you go home with airtime from Amber. Let's go. We've got 10 minutes to do this. So let's make it worth your while.